Good day, patrons.
Hello, good day.
And when we say good day, we mean Roger's upset because the earnings reports are slow, and so am I. Oh, Sarah Lane, speaking of, I threw a GoPro story into Quick Hits because it's kind of an interesting example to use for our main discussion.
Do you want me to sort of
read it?
Also promote the fact that we're going to talk more about it?
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Okay. Oh, I see it now.
It's not exactly what we're talking about, which is why I didn't just put it in the discussion itself, but.
Okay, sweet. Yeah. I'll just be like, and we're going to talk more about subscription services and their value later on the show. After pretty much everybody who watched the show yesterday was like, your glasses are crazy because you can see your light ring in the reflection. Now I've just increased the text a lot.
Oh, you should just wear the glasses. People get over it.
Yeah, I don't like them.
People said it to me when I first started wearing these. When I first started wearing these, they're like, what's the crazy weird colors they turn when the light hits? And then they stopped.
I mean, anti-reflective would solve this.
Yeah,
of course. These glasses are quite old and I just don't. I'm not crazy about.
I just worry about your eyes. Are you eating enough fish?
I have to do Command Plus to make all my text bigger because my eyes aren't what they used to be.
Command Plus size text.
I know what I forgot. Be right back.
I only wear these for glare.
Yeah. Are those gunners?
No, it's funny. You know, you pay like a lot of money for gunners.
Yeah.
I did this little experiment where I went to Zenni, which is super cheap, right? And I just ordered prescriptionless lenses with a 80% yellow tint to see if it would work, and they totally work.
They totally do. Yeah, because I feel like now that I said that, I've asked you before.
Yeah, I think they probably cost me like $15. So I think that this is a better deal, and I like the people at Gunners. They've always been really nice, and I've dealt with them on other things and stuff.
Sure.
But it's a little bit of a racket, if I'm being honest, because these are just as good. In fact, I might even say they're a tiny bit better. I have
glasses are one of the prime examples of like a one company hedging the like owning like 90% of the market in glasses frames. It's one company in Italy, but they have a number of subsidiaries with different names. So people think, oh, it's this brand, it's this brand. No, the parent company is just this one Italian company.
Well, I mean, in the case of Gunner, they always tout, oh, the perfect amount of tint and blah, 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 blah. And maybe that's all true, but I'll, you know, that's $100 or I can pay 15 for these and they work better for me. So I don't know.
And they're not a prescription, right?
No, they're prescriptionless. They're just blink lenses. When I got my surgeries, it kind of locked my vision into the distance of the computer, but I get headaches real easy because of these artificial robot lenses I have are super glary. In fact, you can see them once in a while. If you're standing near me and I'm looking in the light just right, you'll see a flash and you'll think, oh my gosh, I'm with a robot man. Great feeling. Or at least that's what I've been told.
I think glasses are very fashionable. I just don't happen to have my own fashionable glasses. I have like Walgreens glasses.
Yeah.
Which, again, just don't work for me. Maybe very fashionable for others.
Microsoft.
I tend to like the more doesn't fit our discussion of rental today, but I like online glasses services because I can get a whole lot. I can get like four pair for what it used to cost for one.
Well, subscription glasses would be an interesting proposition where it's like change them out as much as you want.
Mm-hmm. Got a little crack in the lens. Pop it in. That's interesting. Netflix for glasses.
Yeah, you let's say you pay for two lenses, and of course you have to pay anytime your prescription changes, but then they would always keep two of your lenses and be able to put them in different frames or something that could keep costs down.
Yep.
I feel like glasses are kind of like perfume, where like when you get something that works for you, you're not really looking to change it up too much.
Yeah.
Because it's part of your...
It's part of your style.
Identity. I don't know. I don't really know, but I think I would probably feel that way.
Reuters has the Microsoft earnings now.
We've earned a bunch of money here at Microsoft.
So is it second quarter? So Microsoft's reporting second quarter earnings?
Yes. Their fiscal Q2.
Oh, okay.
See, this is the thing, though. CNBC's reporting adjusted, and Reuters is reporting a loss. And what I want is the one that causes the least amount of confusion.
Oh, also, Tom, did you want to take the second email or do you want me to do both? Because you didn't have your initials.
Oh, yeah. No, put my initials by it. I'll take the second one. That's fine. Yeah.
I was fine either way. Just wanted to make sure.
Double check those numbers in the Microsoft line, Roger. I pulled those off of CNBC, but I see Reuters has a loss. So,
well, yeah, the, so wait, I'm still trying to go through the Facebook to double check all these numbers. Let's see, Reuters.
And TechCrunch to the rescue with the important stuff.
When I was talking about the thrill of earnings, I used to really like, even though I was never one writing it up, I used to like it when it was earnings days and like the writers that were assigned to, you know, earnings in the TechCrunch office were like, you know, it was a very big deal.
I'll bet.
You know, source of pride to get the earnings out.
Yeah.
Exciting stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's fun. You know, it's like being in a newsroom.
See, if you go by CNBC, you end up with something weird on Microsoft. And if I look at TechCrunch, they have, even though they took a little longer.
Yeah, for the Samsung stuff for headlines this morning, the CNBC article had all the right information, but I was like, parsing it was too hard. I had to look at some other sources.
It's Reuters that has the only one that has the loss. That's so weird.
Right. they had a stock. Microsoft stock dipped.
Yeah. Well, they forget about stock price. I just ignore stock price. That doesn't ever mean much. Just don't even bother trying to figure that part out. But what it was is they had a tax hit which caused a loss, but they're adjusted. Earnings per share were a gain. So once you get rid of that $13.8 billion charge related to the tax bill, you get a clearer picture of how the business is doing because they're not going to keep having a weird tax bill every time. The Microsoft one's in good shape. If you see anything about the gaming business, how the gaming business does.
For Microsoft,
add that.
Yeah. They've been cagey on their Xbox revenue lately.
And Facebook, it looks like you got Facebook in good shape too, which is awesome. If anything, just add in that whatever link you use to get the info.
Yeah.
Um, Oh, earnings. Sometimes I think 1:30 was the worst possible time to put the show because it's just long enough after the market close that I feel like we should include the earnings, but it's not a comfortable amount of time to get them all into the show.
I think also for a lot of people, it's like earnings are, you know, if you just rattle off numbers, I mean, they're significant. They mean something.
Yeah.
But they tend to all sound the same unless you're like, here's the takeaway.
Yeah. And that's what that's what Roger and I are going over of like, okay, what's the meaningful information out of these numbers? Like sure. Reuters reporting a loss is actually confusing because, oh, wait, TechCrunch explains why CNBC shows a profit, but Reuters shows a loss. It's because of the tax bill. Okay, now I get it. The important part is the cloud. Did the cloud business do well? Yes, it did well. So
yeah,
it's
It's and a lot crazy. Of the publications tend to do that, but like it takes them a minute too.
Right, right. So that's why I was recommending Roger check TechCrunch because they're usually the first with the contextual post, even though CNBC is always the first with the numbers.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, as somebody who does not work in finance, like I understand the numbers, but you know.
But yeah, there's always like
home. I'd be like, okay, well, what does it mean?
There's an adjusted, and then there's EBITDA, and you know, it's like,
right.
What is this stuff? EBITDA is Bitcoin's dad.
It's Bitcoin backwards.
Almost. It isn't. All right.
Who's going to be the first baby named Bitcoin?
Patrick Beja's kid.
Ethereum.
Actually, there's got to be a baby already named Bitcoin out there. I would be surprised. Somewhere.
It'd be Ethereum Beja.
Biddy for short.
Yeah. Biddy.
And then when he or she becomes a rapper, they can be a little biddy.
Little biddy. Yeah. Go ahead and hit that live button.
Let me hit live here.
Little biddy.
Does Patrick Beja have a child?
Block.
Yes.
Did that happen?
Yes, he had the child over the weekend.
Do we know details or are we not talking about it?
He talked about it on Twitter, but yeah, I haven't heard a name. He hasn't said a name.
I will go and catch up.
Yeah, we know it's a boy. We don't know the name, do we?
But congratulations to Patrick Beja.
Absolutely. Can't we wait to meet little Bitcoin?
We, of course, will never refer to Patrick's son as anything but Bitcoin, no matter what he names them.
That's correct.
Yeah, that's the goal.
How's little Bitcoin? That's not his name. But how is he?
Right, like nicknames don't have to matter.
Right.
Which is
what up, Bitcoin?
I found it. I think this is the name.
Really, really.
How do you spell that in Finnish or Swedish? Swedish.
Two E's and an umlaut somewhere.
Two E's and an umlaut. Two bits.
That's cheap.
Yeah. I guess there's not really much nickname to be. You don't really have nicknames.
Scott, I always got Scotty growing up, it always threw me because that's longer than the name, you know, it's an extra syllable, so I don't know why people did it, but
right, yeah.
I'm gonna throw this Zuckerberg statement into the Facebook earnings bit for you too. I don't think it's related to the earnings, but he said it just now, so I think it's meant to be timed with the earnings.
Who's you? Me?
It's going in the Facebook story, which I think is yours, right? Yes. No, it's mine. Never mind. Sure. I'm telling myself. Hey Tom.
Cool.
I'm doing this thing for you. Sorry, I forgot who had what.
Have you trademarked Tom Merritt? Because that'd be great to see Tom
TMTM.
Merritt.
Yeah, I absolutely should. Why have I not done that?
Yeah, really should.
Oh, Lordy. I never went in the chat room because of all this earnings nonsense. Good day, BioCow.
BioCow.
Don't have a cow. I have a bio cow instead.
Biological cow.
All right, you guys ready?
Oh, yeah.
Are you ready like Bitcoin Beja?
Little Bitcoin Beja.
Little Bitcoin. Here we go.
A Nicholas Show keeps you in the know. If you'd like to find out more, please go to dailytechnewsshow.com/support and find out how to keep us on the air. Thank you.
This is the Daily Tech News for Wednesday, January 31st, 2018, from DTNS headquarters in Los Angeles. I'm Tom Merritt.
And from Studio Feline, I'm Sarah Lane.
And from still sort of getting used to our new mail cat, I'm Scott Johnson.
Also joining us today, deep within the earnings report minds, Roger Chang, our producer.
It's very earnings down here.
Yeah. Do you have the mask that filters out the earnings dust to keep your lungs clean?
No, I have earnings, earning lung disease.
Earnings lung. Oh, no. We'll have to see if our insurance covers that. I apologize. Let's start with a few tech things you should know.
Speaking of earnings, we have some. Samsung had a record Q4 profit of $14.15 billion driven by chip sales, which now gives Samsung the distinction of being world's largest chip maker, above all others, including Intel. Samsung cited strong demand for its memory chips that are used in data centers and smartphones. However, not all totally great news. The mobile business saw a 3.2% year-over-year profits decline to $2.25 billion.
Yeah, just keep selling those chips.
Yep. All the chips you can eat. Xerox will merge with a joint venture it operates with Fujifilm in Asia. And guess what that does? That essentially makes Xerox a division of Fujifilm. Xerox, a division of Fujifilm. That's how the commercials will be. Fujifilm will ultimately own 50.1% of the combined entity, which will encompass all of Xerox's operations. That is the exact amount of percentage my wife owns of Frog Pants Studios.
And you'll also tell people to go Fujifilm you. This document. YouTube TV, YouTube's cable replacement service, has the exclusive rights to telecasts of the Los Angeles FC MLS soccer games starting when the season starts in March. The LAFC, they're LA's second soccer team now.
Okay.
Starting in March. 18 games will be available on an LAFC YouTube TV channel, geofence to LA subscribers. And YouTube won't charge subscribers an additional fee, all part of your $35 a month service subscription.
Isn't it always a rule that LA has two teams of everything? I thought that was like...
Well, it didn't have any football teams for years. None. Yeah. It's two or nothing. Right.
GoPro has added device replacement to its Plus subscription service, which previously included cloud backup for photos and videos. So you can replace any GoPro camera twice within a 12-month subscription. The service still costs $5 a month. And on that note, we will be talking about subscriptions and their value later in the show.
Yes, we will. Should you just rent everything? Even the air you breathe? Okay, we're not going to go that far. But here are some more top stories.
I wouldn't put it past people. Speaking of renting things, or subscriptions anyway, Spotify released an Android app called Stations. This is going to let users stream Pandora-style curated music stations without having to pay for a Spotify premium subscription. The app, which Spotify describes as an experiment, is only available in Australia right now, which is why Tom is planning a trip there.
Exactly. I need to experience this Android app, so I'll be taking my Essential phone to Australia in May. It's not for my nephew's wedding. That's what he thinks.
It sounds like Spotify, I mean, and companies do this all the time, experiments and, you know, seeing what sticks, but it hasn't been downloaded much. They haven't really advertised it. It's only in one region. Great if you're a Spotify customer who likes the, you know, the service and doesn't necessarily want to pay a pro fee for Pandora style stuff. But I don't know. I mean, is Spotify really like these standalone apps with services that are already pretty valuable on their own and people use them and don't really have a lot of complaints about what is offered? They never really make a lot of sense to me.
Let me reverse engineer the meeting in which this happened. Somebody brought up some data that showed that one of the major complaints we get is difficulty accessing your playlists from the Spotify app. And the product team said, well, but it's really difficult because, you know, we have so many functions that the Spotify app does, like managing your account and all of this stuff. And then somebody said, well, you know, what if we had a separate app just for playlists? It could be a suite of Spotify apps eventually. And somebody said, great, but we should test that in Australia.
I'm going to throw an extra wrinkle in there, if you don't mind an extra wrinkle or two.
Sure.
And that was this. I think one of the things we're forgetting is one of the ways a lot of people are starting to listen to music in a more random radio style way is through their home assistants. So I know that right now when I want to use my Echo, I ask it to play something from the 90s and it comes up with a playlist and it just plays it. And that service already exists with Amazon Music without having to pay for the full Amazon Music experience. So they're going to provide this in a way that will, I would assume, extend its reach on these devices. And instead of me automatically using Amazon service, or in the case of Google Play or whatever else, maybe this puts it in a position to be like, okay, well, Spotify is the radio station I use instead of Pandora or TuneIn or whoever.
I don't know. Do you need this app to do that, though?
No. You don't. That's the thing.
And I know that Australia was probably chosen for a reason, but it's like, I don't get the significance of that. It's also Android only. So it's, you know, it's a limited experiment, as Spotify calls it themselves on the Google Play Store. So I don't know.
Australia probably just fit the demo, or they just picked it at random. Like, let's pick an area where we have good subscribers, and they picked Australia. I don't think I wouldn't read too much.
Or maybe an area where Spotify is somehow lagging, but they still know that people want a certain service and might be able to market it differently.
I don't know. Google Flights will start telling you the reason for flight delays. It will also start using historical flight status data with machine learning to alert you when it's 80% certain your flight will be delayed. Now, they'll be the first to tell you when they tell you this, like, we're not saying it is delayed, so don't delay going to the airport. So I'm not sure how useful that is, but they'll say, we're pretty sure your flight's going to get delayed, so maybe you get mentally prepared. Google Flights will also now tell you which amenities are not included in a basic economy fare. This is a more practical piece of information. When you're booking a flight, you see that really cheap fare, and you don't know what basic economy means on United versus Delta versus American Airlines, this will tell you, well, this one means that you can't do overhead storage, or this one means that you won't be able to pick your seat, et cetera, et cetera.
I mean, I already get sort of notified from, I guess, whenever I use Delta, I get notified if something's major delay. Like, if the flight is delayed and they know it.
That's when it's actually delayed. This is going to tell you before it's delayed.
But it could or might be,
that
sure.
It's probably going to get delayed.
Yeah, and I think I like that. But what more I like is, in other words, I don't think those two services are all that different. I mean, one's a little bit more predictive maybe, but what I like about this is some of the other stuff. Like, and you might not, they're going to have a full flight, so chances of you waiting around for an extra seat aren't going to be good. Or, hey, they're not going to do onboard luggage because they don't have enough room for overhead.
Well, no. This is just the fare when you book it. That's not after you book it.
Oh.
This is telling you, like, this basic economy fare doesn't include the right to pick your seat.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
You know, you're going to get docked in other ways. I took a flight recently from San Francisco to LA, and it was delayed. And it was weather related, and I was on United, and they were pretty good about communicating that. But I didn't know until I was, like, almost going to be late for the original time. So, you know, anything that would have given me a little context, even an hour in advance, I would welcome. So sure, if Google could do that, great.
Even if you're at the airport already, tell us more info. I like it. Amazon's launching a new messaging feature for Alexa devices. Sorry, everybody. I'm turning mine off too. In the US, that will allow you to send SMS to contacts using your voice. Depending on the contact, the assistant will decide how to route your message using either the previous launched Alexa messaging system. I tried to say in a way that wasn't too weird, or via SMS. The feature only works for sending SMS messages to Android phones and doesn't currently work with third-party smart speakers. Amazon introduced free calls and messaging last year, but the feature only works between Echo devices.
I'll be honest, the most significant part of this is also the significant part of the Spotify story for Android only. I'm starting to see this happen a little more often. Android has dominated the marketplace for a long time, but iOS always got the development love because of the uptake and the monetization. And it seems like maybe that playing field is leveling out finally.
Well, I mean, more of the, you know, total people who might use your service are on Android, right? So.
Well, yeah, but that's been true for a long time, right? The reason that it didn't level out before was, well, but they don't spend as much money, or, you know, they end up wanting the free apps. But now features are coming to Android first, and sometimes only, like in this case, quite regularly.
I mean, this is limited in two ways. First of all, certainly I have friends with Android devices, but I have a third party smart speaker, so I can't actually use this yet. I assume I'll get it eventually. But, you know, it was weird at one point for me to voice dictate texts to people, and now I do it all the time. So this seems like an evolution that a lot of people will just get used to.
Absolutely.
Unless you don't. All right, moving on. Nintendo beat market expectations in its third quarter and also increased the sales forecast for its Switch console. Seems to be pretty popular. Revenue was 482.97 billion yen, which comes out to about 4.44 billion US dollars, which is more than a 177% year-over-year rise and also the highest quarterly revenue figure for Nintendo since their quarter that ended December 2009.
Yeah, that's about 2 years into the Switch or to the Wii and its existence back then. And that was really the highest point Nintendo's ever had in terms of market share. They were leading the console world at that point and embarrassing the crap out of Sony and Microsoft and a lot of really interesting stuff back then. And then they took another dive backwards. And now this is a jump forward. And Tom and I this morning were talking about how they tend to do this kind of every other thing. And I really hope whatever's after this is great, but for today this is enough to hear that these earnings are good and that they're doing well.
Yeah, they're switching things up finally.
Yep.
I see, because they're using the Switch and their earnings are up.
Pretty good. Yeah, it's pretty good,
man. Maybe Facebook reported its adjusted earnings right before the show. Earnings per share was $2.21 versus an expected $1.95. Revenue came in at $12.97 billion versus an expected $12.55 billion. And people had been really paying attention to that big revenue number, and beating expectations is almost the expectation, right? I think meeting expectations might have disappointed people. Because of tax on overseas earnings, you're going to hear this a lot on earnings in lots of different companies. We didn't talk about it in some of them, but it's true of every single U.S. company. They're setting aside $2.27 billion, decreasing the diluted earnings by 77 cents per share for both the fourth quarter and all of last year. But these are one-time charges because they're moving money back into the U.S. to take advantage of the new tax law. Facebook reports 1.4 billion daily active users versus an expected 1.41 billion. Zuckerberg may have an explanation for that, though. Monthly active users came in at 2.13 billion, meeting expectations, up 3.39% from Q3. Compared to a 3.19% growth that quarter. So the growth is slowing. And CEO Mark Zuckerberg announced that last quarter they made changes to show fewer viral videos to make sure people's time is well spent. In total, he says, we made changes that reduced time spent on Facebook by roughly 50 million hours every day. So in this effort that they've been saying to make Facebook a more quality experience, they are avowedly, admittedly, reducing the engagement of the site.
I have a question about this, and I have never quite really gotten to reconcile my feelings with what Facebook has decided to do over time. But this is another reminder that I'm not seeing my raw feed. I don't see what my friends are posting because they're posting it. I'm seeing kind of what Facebook thinks I want to see, algorithmic reasons I should see them. And this is a yet chiseling away at what I get to see. So if my friends are posting nothing but viral videos, I don't know how many of those I'm actually seeing from my friends. So what am I even doing there? I hate that feeling. I don't like it. Curation, man.
But you only hate it when you think about it.
You're absolutely right. Because most of the time it's like, whatever, whatever. But right now, and mostly what I interact on there is with groups and stuff like that or private messages. So it's really not that big of an effect on me. But I don't like being told what I want to see. I hate that.
Facebook also, you know, is still enjoying user growth, even though it's like most of the world is already on Facebook. So it has, you know, the privilege to say, you know what, we just want our users to have more quality experiences rather than, you know, kind of that desperation that a lot of companies have to deal with. So, yeah, stuff like this is, Facebook can do it. Not every company could do the same.
Is that revenue still growing? Great. Let's say things that sound really, really cool in public.
Yeah, and make it, you know, better for the community.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds like really pessimistic on my part, but I'm like, nah, it's, you know, companies of that size don't do things for the
It's not even necessarily evil. It just makes it easier for them to do it. That revenue figure goes down. Suddenly, it'll be harder for them to make those kinds of pronouncements.
Rounding out earnings, Microsoft reported Q2 earnings per share of 96 cents. This is adjusted versus analyst expectations of 86 cents. Q2 revenues were $29.92 billion, beating analyst expectations as well. Those were $28.39 billion. Analysts expected big gains from Microsoft's cloud business, and Azure revenue grew 98% year over year. And Satya Nadella has said gaming will become one of the biggest businesses in the company.
Yeah, still, we'll have a little more on this once we get the full breakdown of how each division did. But upshot is Microsoft had a good quarter because Azure did well. So there you go.
Yeah.
Hey, folks, if you want to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, subscribe to Daily Tech Headlines on your Amazon Echo, on your Google Home, on your Anchor app, or as a podcast at dailytechheadlines.com. So today on TechCrunch, I read a story about Joy Mode. Joy Mode is an LA startup, but I wasn't aware of it, even though I'm in LA. Jonathan Scheiber wrote the story up for TechCrunch. They do subscription rental of experience-related stuff, which just sounds like I strung a lot of buzzwords together, but I just made that up because I'm trying to describe what they do. I think an easier way to describe it is you pay a certain amount a month, and then you'll get cheaper access to, like, say, I want to go camping this week. You can rent all the things I need to go camping, the tent, the bag, sleeping bags, everything. I don't have to buy it and keep it in my garage. Going to the beach, I can get the seats and the overhead shade and the floaty toys and all that. Don't have to own it. And this started me thinking about all the different subscription rental services out there. Now, your mind's going to immediately, as mine did and many others, go to Loot Crate or Stitch Fix, where you subscribe to buy things. That's the opposite of this. Subscribing to those makes you get more stuff, right? Because every month they send you things. Subscription rentals allow you to act as if you own stuff without having to own it. You know, you may not even have to store it in the case of Joy Mode. So examples of this, and big thanks to all the people in our boss's Slack for the ideas. There are so many car services like this. I don't know if you realized there's Book by Cadillac, which is $1,800 a month. There's Care by Volvo, which gets you an XC40 crossover for $600 a month. Hyundai has one called Unlimited Plus for its Ioniq Electric for $275 a month. And Ford Canvas does one for pre-owned vehicles with different mileage limits at different price points. There's one called Fair that includes a down payment, but you can switch your vehicle up every month. And most of these, if not all of them, include maintenance, which you don't get with your lease. All you have to pay is gas. There's also one for Legos. There's one for sports jerseys. If you keep wanting to change your allegiance to which player on your team, or even change the team, I guess, you can just subscribe. And when you're done with the jersey, send it back and get a different one. There's one for toys, which is great for kids. If you're like, I don't want to build up all these toys they don't play with, you just send them back and get new toys. So I was curious if you guys have tried these or have thought about trying these and what your experiences have been. Sarah, I know you said you tried clothing, but you didn't stick with it.
I didn't. And that's because for me, I realized that the subscription, while convenient, keeping me out of the mall, which I am 100% for, was going to be more expensive over time because I wasn't really utilizing it. You know, I wasn't sending stuff back, and you know, there, you have to kind of be part of the deal.
Oh wait, so which service?
For a lot of folks, you know, for example, if I was which service to a fancy party, like I can't afford some couture dress, but Rent the Runway would allow me to rent one and kind of like pretend like I'm, you know, a little bit, you know, I don't know, deeper pockets than I actually have. It like fit in. So there's like a status. You mentioned the jerseys. It's kind of like sneakers. Like for some people, you want to have certain things that, you know, it just isn't economical for you to buy. And then there's the storage aspect of it too. A lot of people don't have space for things. So
wait a minute, which
not convenient. It's inconvenient.
Which clothing one were you using?
It wasn't Stitch Fix.
But was it one where you had to buy the stuff, or was it one where you could just wear it and send it back? Cause that makes all the difference.
You would wear it and send it back, but if you wanted to buy it, you could.
Okay. I do that with the Mr. Collection. And I do. This shirt came from the Mr. Collection, and I kept it. Right now, my Mr. Collection stuff is out, so I don't have an example of the rental stuff. But I find that the perfect balance because I get new things that I can wear and not look like I only have five shirts, which is actually sort of true, some of which are 10, 15 years old. So it freshens up my look without me having to do anything. And every once in a while, I can keep something. You're saying that you kept things too often, it sounds like.
I don't know. It just didn't, you know, it's like for some people, it's very personal, right? Like if I buy electronics, I want to go to the store and look at them and touch them. Clothes are kind of the same way. So it's not a one size fits all, pardon the pun. But for something like digital music, my subscription service, like I don't ever need to own a file. I've gotten over that whole thing. It works for me, not for everybody, but it works for me. The convenience is worth the money.
I want to add that for clothing, the maternity rental sounds awesome because it's one of those things where you only need it for a specific amount of time.
And by the way, we didn't mention this on the show. Roger's talking about a link in our show notes, rent your maternity clothes so that you just use them while you're pregnant and you don't have to borrow old ones.
I thought I was learning something about Roger I didn't know before, but go ahead.
No, like I don't wear maternity clothes. But the other one is baby clothes. If you're a new parent, you don't really anticipate how quickly your child grows out of the clothes.
Yeah.
And it's not just the purchasing aspect. It's the storage. Like I literally have five boxes worth of space bagged baby clothes that I got to find space for in the garage to store it because my kid has grown out of them so quickly. And being able to like rent it and then just send it back would be great because it means that, you know, someone else will be able to get those same clothes, but at the same time, I don't necessarily need to hold on to things that take up room and add to the clutter in the house.
Yeah. Tom McLeod, who runs Omni, which is a storage and rental, you know, totally in this whole wheelhouse of this conversation, he said that as, you know, they've grown and have amassed users, a lot of surprises with what people end up not wanting to own and really want to rent. Not only stuff for, like babies or, you know, little kids who are still growing and just won't be wearing or using things for very long, but also seasonal stuff. You know, a snowboard, that's a high priced item. Even if you snowboard a lot, like there's a big part of the year you're not going to. It makes sense to rent when you need if you know you're going to get something of high quality.
And that's exactly what Joy Mode's banking on is when it's snowboard season, you'll use your Joy Mode subscription to get the snow stuff and not have to keep it all year round.
And it's weird because I find something very similar happened around because I had a bunch of friends that were pilots. And one of the things is, well, as soon as you get your pilot's license, you're super excited. I can fly. I'm awesome. I'm like, you know, I'm Mr. Jet Setter. The thing is, owning a plane is expensive, not just buying it, but the hangar fees and the maintenance.
Yeah.
And so what happens is everyone
most of us don't own a plane.
And you only really fly like maybe a couple of times a year. And what happens is that people eventually fall into kind of a timeshare model where you rent or you subscribe to allotment of time that you have with the plane, and then you can schedule it kind of like a timeshare throughout the year when you want to use it. And that's all you have to pay. So you, although it's more expensive per flight hour, it's actually cheaper in the long run because you're not holding onto the plane.
I don't know if that's an example that most people could relate to, but I get what you're saying. It's the same kind
when
of thing.
I want a private jet. I just prefer to rent. You know, that happens often.
Well, but still,
I mean, those are. I think a lot of the stuff that's just like, it's almost like, you know, a credit card in a way. It's like there are things in this world that are just beyond our financial means for most people. But you don't necessarily need to have it all the time. And if there's an opportunity to have it on demand, that opens up a whole new market for lots of things that previously I just would never have considered.
Yeah. I mean, digital for me has been an easy transition. I've loved that move in my life. I don't have any CDs anymore. I don't have stuff clogging up hard drives. I like that with movies, with TV, with music. Like that is totally my jam. I suspect that with a recent move by Microsoft and others, video games are very much headed in this direction as well. Renting instead of buying makes a lot of sense in those places. It's been harder with durable goods. I think that's why this startup is so interesting.
I wanted to ask you because you're, you know, as sort of a, you know, a creative dude, the whole idea of like the creative suite model, subscription model, where it's like, yeah, they'll get more of your money in the end. It'll take a while, but they will. but you have a subscription rather than having to plunk down a bunch of money for expensive software program off the bat. What are your thoughts on that?
I was very hesitant. Like when Adobe CC launched, I was concerned. And many have followed suit. There are a lot of other services now that have their suite of applications. Autodesk has a whole bunch of stuff in a similar boat. But I am completely in on it now, and I actually really, really like it. Now, part of that is because the company in question has done a really good job supporting me. What I need, they take care of. If there's a bug, it gets squished. They're very fast on the pickup and take service calls. Like, they don't just sort of put it out there and hope for the best. So that's one big part of this. But also, I used to have to spend the $2,000 for the suite every few years when they'd make a new version, because that's the kind of work I do and I had to do it. Now I don't have to think about that giant lump sum. It's easily paid for itself every month with a $40 subscription, and it's always up to date. I get the latest version. Like, they've really made it convenient and no hassle. And that's the biggest key with all of these things. It's like, I don't know, iTunes to MP3s back in 2001, or it's like Netflix to movies today. You make this easy, priced affordably, and two clicks and you're in, and suddenly the value shows up. And it occurred to me in this all this conversation, we're finally getting in 2018 what I think the internet bubble of 2000, 2001 thought we were going to be. And that was these weird services like pets.com and a million other weird kind of combinations of strange things the internet was going to do for us. It was a little premature and we got a little ahead of ourselves, but we're finally getting to a place where weird stuff like that not only works, but works really well. And across the board, whether it's high-end creative software for professional artists or it's somebody who needs a new pair of socks every month, it's the kind of the same thing. And I love that we're here. I think it's great. And there's so much more choice now, and I don't have to own everything anymore. And in some cases, I'm going to spend less money. So.
Well, and that's what this is about. Most of these don't save you money. Most of them are about convenience. None of the car things are actually going to be a better buy than buying a car, but you don't have to deal with the hassle of maintenance. You get the flexibility of changing your cars, right? And that's what you're talking about. You're probably spending more money on your software, but it's more convenient and it's more up to date, and so it's worth the extra money to you. Andy Beach said he used ReachNow, BMW's car sharing service, for most of last year and saved $1,500 in car payments and insurance because of his situation. And guy from Trinidad said it reminded him of the 60s and 70s rent to own. In fact, in Trinidad, he said they used to just rent televisions. Sometimes they just rent them for the World Cup because they couldn't afford to purchase them. But once the economy improved and prices of TVs came down, that model went away. So I want to thank them, Gadget Virtuoso and KJ Murphy 17, all for contributing to our conversation around this, which will continue, I think, in the Slack and on patreon.com/DTNS and at facebook.com/group/dailytechnewsshow and on our subreddit at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com.
Lots of ways to interact. Hope you do. We were talking about airline stuff earlier. Chris Christensen, our friend over at Amateur Traveler, has an update on technology of jet emissions.
Yes. This is Chris Christensen from Amateur Traveler with another Tech in Travel Minute. As you know, one of the problems that we have with jet travel is the fact that it gives off a lot of greenhouse gases, and there's continuing efforts to try and reduce that. One of the latest things that's happened is Qantas has launched the first flight that is using a blended biofuel between the U.S. and Australia, Melbourne, Australia. And by blending in 10% of this fuel coming from non-food grade mustard seeds, they've actually managed to cut 7% of the carbon emissions on this long flight. So it's just interesting to see all of these different experiments that are going on. They seem to be getting some results, although there's still a long way to go. I'm Chris Christensen from Amateur Traveler.
Mustard seeds.
Mustard seeds, not just pretty in January.
Right, or delicious when or turned
blossoms,
into mustard.
I guess, would be.
Let's check delicious. Let's check what's in the mailbag really quick before we're out of here.
Got an email from Lewis who says he's in sunny and sweltering Mumbela, hope I said that right, which is in South Africa. He says, the recent discussions on digital wallets and modern banking got me thinking. Banking technology situation in the US, kind of perplexing to me. As far as I know, banks and consumers seem reticent to just take advantage of newer technologies. Here in South Africa, chip and PIN been the norm for years. Contactless is gaining popularity as well. In April of last year, MasterCard started a trial in partnership with two local retail shops to test biometric cards they're planning to roll out, which is a chip with a built-in fingerprint sensor for user authentication. As far as I know, South Africa was one of the first markets to test this. He says most of the South African banks have full-featured cell phone banking apps too. The bank I'm with even allows the app to use the phone's NFC reader to make payments at all contactless enabled terminals. I recently had to use this. I was traveling. I had my wife's car. I left my wallet at home. The cashier at the filling station, gas station, was skeptical and then extremely surprised that it all worked. Everybody's ahead of us.
No, man, I use my phone to pay more and more over here. And there's that Zelle app from the banks. Like, I think the U.S., I think people overestimate how far behind the U.S. is because they're used to the U.S. being ahead in so many other things. We're not that far behind.
No. Also, it's you have to look at the difference in the market. I think there are people more skittish here to make big sweeping changes to the way things work because maybe some of the stakes are a little higher. And it's not to say that South Africa doesn't have a great economy and a rad way of doing banking. It's just that you can make a smaller mistake and be okay. It's a little like opening a jar.
Is that true? I don't know if that's true.
I think it's true. You open it. Hold on. Listen to my scenario here. You open a jar of grape jelly in a fancy car with leather seats, or you open it my old B210 from.
So you're calling South Africa an old car? I'm not sure if that's true.
I don't mean it in a disparaging way. What I'm saying is, let's say you had a huge hack and it took down the entirety of Wall Street or whatever.
Gotcha.
Whatever system in America, that will have a greater impact on the world economy than it would if it happened in South Africa. That's just the numbers. So
I'm not sure if that's the underlying reason or not. It could be.
I'm not saying reason. I'm saying we're skittish because of that. I'm not saying we should be. I'm not saying it's the right way to react. I think U.S. markets are skittish when change comes, because they think the fallout's going to be bigger.
And people hate change. But I have a card. Why do I need to use my phone? You know, it is more convenient, kind of. But like, if you don't care, then you don't care. Well, Scott Johnson, as always, wonderful to have your opinions on everything that we talk about on the show. What else do you have going on?
Well, like a big bowl of jelly spilling on the carpet, you can follow all the cool things I'm doing. There's lots of rad stuff happening right now, but as I announced yesterday, and since then we've had our first session, I started with a group of friends, we started a D&D weekly show called There Will Be Dungeons at therewillbedungeons.com. If you are interested in following along with those exploits, our second session is this Saturday. So far, the response has been over the moon, and I could not be more happy about it. So if you're feeling a little nerd itch and you want to get it scratched, show up at 3 p.m. Mountain Time over at frogpants.tv, and you can catch it all live or catch it later on the podcast. You can find that again over at therewillbedungeons.com.
There is a huge thanks in order for everyone who supports the show at patreon.com/DTNS. Up 28 patrons over last month at this point. So just hold on, and we will definitely set a new goal for next month. Thank you to everyone who supports the show at patreon.com/DTNS.
And not only are we happy for your support, but we're happy for your feedback. Questions, comments, everything. Email address, feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. We're also live Monday through Friday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 21:30 UTC. Got a couple options, alphageekradio.com and diamondclub.tv. And our email address for everything is dailytechnewsshow.com.
Back tomorrow with Justin Robert Young. Talk to you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Yeah. Sorry. Stop that. Well, that was good timing, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was just in time.
Well, I usually turn off my Wi-Fi on my phone so that FaceTime won't pick it up on my computer, but I forgot today, so. Saved by the bell.
So what are we going to call this little thing that we call
piece of
our show?
Showbot.
Should you rent everything? I like that one. Rent what you want, when you want, on whatever. pardon me.
Still got that cough.
Man, I can't get rid of it. Subscribe to Life. Wii U Switch for more money. Get it? You Wii U Switch for more money. Earnings Lung. I like that one. I actually might have that. I don't know.
Maybe that's why you have the cough.
That's what I'm thinking.
You got Earnings Lung.
Roger does not like maternity club. I'm just using it as an example. A lot just of things forward I have to,
with Earnings Lung, you know.
Working in that bank for so long. Subscribe to your life. No, I just said subscribe to life or subscribe to your life. I like those. Oh, help me cancel grandpa's subscriptions. I know that one. I know that feeling. Roger rents his jets. I do. I rented a seat at a time.
I like subscribed to life.
That's good.
What do you like, Scott?
I like Earner's Lung. I know it's not on there, but if you're asking,
Earning's Lung is.
If you want an honest answer, I like Earner's Lung.
Roger, you got a tiebreaker? Earnings Lung or Earnings Lung is like on there too.
Oh, is
I
it?
Like subscribe to life.
All right.
I like it.
Kind of partial to Earnings Lung too. Now it's got
a Rorschach test. You know, that's what these titles are. They're just a Rorschach test.
In what way?
What people are drawn to. It's like, oh, that's what I see.
Oh, you see what you want to see in them. Yeah. I see a dead butterfly shot by a deer in Earnings Lung.
I see an old woman.
I see a splotch of ink folded between a piece of paper and then I see two, to my eyes.
See two candles with faces.
I see Andre the Giant.
Now, Scott, I was just trying to fend off the angry South African emails when I shut you down on the car analogy. I apologize.
No, I get those.
I think some of the reluctance is just that in the U.S. there's a huge install base, and that takes money to turn over. And also, initially with the pin and chip, this was like maybe 8 years ago, there was some pushback because the credit card companies wanted to offload the liabilities that they were carrying. Like, you know, oh, someone used your card maliciously, like they stole your credit card number, you wouldn't be charged and we would take the hit. They wanted to offload that back onto the store.
Well, and that's to Scott's point, right? Of like, we want to minimize the risk.
Yeah. I probably could have just said they want to minimize risk. I think that would have been a better scenario than what I explained, but any chance I get to have a really bad metaphor, I always go
any
for
chance
it.
You get to compare a populace to jelly. Totally yeah. Fake.
Yeah.
Jelly.
Roger, jelly. Can I get into the post? Or are you still in it?
Oh, no. I'm not. Oh,
okay.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's
I'm not in it.
No. I'll take over. I just didn't want to take over if you were actually doing something.
No, I think I hit it. I was sitting on it. I was sitting on it by accident, like jam and jelly.
What I would like is for someone to send us some South African jelly.
Actually, marmalade would be better for me. Does South Africa do marmalade, like specific marmalade? Is marmalade only just for citrus? Can you not do marmalade with, because you need the rinds, right?
Oh, do you? Ugh.
I don't know. Ask Paddington.
Rinds? No wonder I don't like marmalade.
Yeah. What do you think the little pieces of it?
That's why I don't like it. I hate the pieces. I didn't know what they were, though.
Well, you like zest, don't you?
Isn't no.
That what they call it when you shave the outside of a fruit into a.
No, I don't. I don't like zest. I don't like.
I love how Roger's like, well, everyone likes zest. Come on.
I like zest soap, but I don't. Deal? I'll tell you what I don't like. I don't like pulp of any sort.
Oh yeah, I'm with you on that.
Oh, I love pulp.
Oh, I hate pulp. Pulp's hate the worst. It.
That's yeah. How you know you're eating the real deal.
No, they just make it up. That's probably like South African jelly in there. It's probably.
How do you know that just isn't like outdated boxes of Jell-O, and then they just mixed it in with food coloring? Oh, there's a grape jam.
Yeah. No, I want my juice very clean and strained, which yep. Is what, I mean, I'll eat an orange. I have no problem with that. I just don't like the pieces.
Ugh. Yeah. Little bitty pieces. It just feels like you're eating left, like mistakes. They feel
it,
like,
no, exactly. It feels when you swallow it, like you swallowed something by accident. Like, ooh, what was in there?
That's yeah. I think you guys are just raised in an antiseptic environment.
No, I was raised with a mom who liked to buy orange juice with pieces, and I hated it.
Oh, I love that. That's the best part when you're chewing on your drink.
Oh, gosh. No, it's awful. Stop.
No, that's bad. This is the part Roger doesn't understand. They were trying to get us a drink, Paul. We grew up in environments where they were all pounding that down
yes.
our throats. Oh, yeah, it's great.
I liked crunchy peanut butter, and my mom wouldn't buy the crunchy peanut butter. She only bought the smooth peanut butter.
Oh, crunchy's so good.
See? You and I are food brothers.
Smooth peanut butter is worthless.
Thank you. We are food brothers and sisters.
Absolute garbage.
As I get older, I like the crunchy less because it gets stuck in my teeth.
Does it?
Yeah, I mean, it does.
You'll really hate it when it gets stuck in your dentures.
If that was really a problem, then I probably would like it less. Like, if I eat like a seaweed salad, that gets stuck in my teeth, so I don't want to eat it, even though I think it tastes good. So there's validity to the teeth thing.
But crunchy peanut
just reminds you that you're eating peanuts.
Yeah,
it's the thing about eating. Like, I always get the all natural stuff, so it's like big, you know, meaty peanut chunks.
Oh yeah,
and it reminds me of eating popcorn in a movie theater where you get that one errant kernel wedged between
sure.
your teeth.
Yeah,
you're trying to work it out while you're watching, like, you know, a fight scene between Thor and the Incredible.
I just like the texture. It's fun. It's crunchy. Yeah.
Texture is good.
It's braille for your tongue. You don't need it.
Pulp in your peanuts, not in your juice. Pulp That's in right. your peanuts, not in your juice. No justice. Never mind.
I played bass for Pulp and Your Peanuts back in the day. Great.
Remember when they used to open for Fog Hat?
Oh, they were so good. They were bigger than the main act.
It was Pulp and Your Peanuts followed by Trooper and Fog Hat. What a triple bill. Those were the days.
Those were the days.
Eileen's been on an 80s kick. She keeps listening to 80s music in the car.
Yeah. Like, that's what I do. I listen to retro new wave music.
No, she's listening to like top 40, like Quiet Riot, Billy Squire, Kim Carnes.
Billy Squire have in the 80s?
Billy Squire? Oh, Stroke
I, I'm not
Me, Stroke
I
Me, Stroke.
If she's listening to Steve Winwood, I might be a little worried.
I have not yet heard Steve Winwood.
Sometimes life gives you a gift, and sometimes it's in the form of Tom singing Stroke Me, Stroke
Me. That's going to be a morning stream outtake soon, isn't it? Damn it.
Yeah, I want it to be. Someone's going to have to cap it for me.
That actually happened to me in my car the other day because I've got like a little knob where you change the radio station that's kind of by me, and sometimes I hit it by mistake. And I landed on some, it was sort of like late 80s rock. And I haven't changed the station in like a week. Because I'm like, I kind of like every song. I didn't know that I wanted to hear it, but I like them.
This playlist that she's on is all over the place though. Like, it doesn't stay on rock.
Oh. It's just a genre. It's the date.
Yeah, because it was Bette Davis Eyes as well.
Yeah, great karaoke song. Who didn't like that song?
Right.
They used to play that all the time when they had the Bette Davis movie week on Channel 44.
Eyes Without a Face.
Also good.
Always Something There to Remind Me.
Oh, it's so good.
So wait.
It's basically the soundtrack to, what was it called? The Grand Theft Auto something city. What's wrong with me?
Vice
City is. It's that soundtrack's one of the best video game soundtracks of all time. And it has all that music on it.
I know Scott got very excited about me singing some Billy Squire, and I didn't hear if Sarah recognized that song because you asked which Billy Squire was a hit in the '80s.
He was
I
very.
Just don't
early,
know
that would have been early '80s, right?
Do you not like know? Do you not know that song?
Which one?
Stroke. The Stroke.
No.
Not everybody. That? No?
No.
Have you
What's wrong with me?
If you're in the game, then the stroke's the word.
Oh, yeah, I know that song.
I don't know it.
Wow.
I don't know that song.
I'll just play it.
damn it.
I mean, it's no Africa. I get it, but
no.
I actually tried to read that article this morning and I was like, you know what? I don't even want to know. I like it the way it is.
Yeah. Didn't, you know? It's like you didn't need to peek behind the curtain.
Right. Yeah,
it wasn't like, bad. The what he said about why he wrote it was kind of sweet. It was like, yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Interesting that they were like, yeah, you know, it's kind of like didn't really fit the rest of the album. And then they were like, it's actually a hit. People really like this
yeah,
song.
I know. It's funny how they're like, almost didn't make it. Probably one of their biggest hits ever.
What? Is that Billy Squire? Because I know
that's Billy Squire. Yes, that's Billy Squire. That's the song I've been playing this whole time.
I didn't hear it. I didn't recognize it.
Yeah. Because I don't want to play the whole thing or we'll get the YouTube video taken down. Probably going to get taken down anyway.
If someone played that song and was like, do you know the song? I'd be like, uh-huh, but I don't know who sings it.
There you go. Okay, mystery solved. So. Just one of those. There's no shame in that. There's plenty of songs where I'm like, I don't know who sings that, but I know the song.
You're right, yeah.
I was surprised that you had never heard it before because it's, you know, a bowling alley classic.
I've definitely heard that song. Billy Squire. Wonder what he's doing right now.
Yeah, what's he up to? Is he around?
Probably lives on my street.
He made it to knighthood.
He's on your street.
Billy Knight.
He's 67.
He went from Squire to Knight.
Still rocking it.
All right. Good for him.
He also plays bar mitzvahs, birthday parties.
And does he live?
Let's say where he lives. He was born in Massachusetts, but does not say where he currently resides. I'm guessing LA, but where everyone lives.
He might just live in an RV and travels from state to state playing music for people who need it.
Love that idea.
Oh man, like Kane from Kung Fu. Except
Kane
for music.
Was actually on a mission to find his half brother.
He wasn't a musician, but still.
And he wasn't Asian either, not even a little
bit. Well, sure. Neither was Kane from Kung Fu. Where does he live?
Mom,
it doesn't say
Mom you got
lives.
Me all interested in the Mister collection. Someone stop me.
You should call it the Mister collection, and then you can get the clothes.
I don't go clothes shopping anymore. I always have at least two new shirts and sometimes a new pair of pants every month, and then I usually send them all back. But like, I don't know, three or four times a year, I'm like, you know, that one's worth keeping.
I have a little secret. All the pants I've been wearing for the past 6 years, I bought like 9 years ago. Like I bought like 20 pairs of pants because...
Let me just say, nothing that starts, I've got a little secret about my pants is going to disappoint ever.
Right.
I bought like a whole stack of pants because they were like, I only wear 501s, right? And so I just bought like a stack of them in like a variety of colors because they were like $30 each. And it's like, oh, this is great.
Man.
And at the time, my waist size wasn't really changing. So I was like, why not?
I wish this was in the main show. We could title it The Secret of Roger's Pants.
That's pretty good.
You know what you like. You knew what your size was.
No, you're
pants
totally right.
Not the kind of thing you need like a ton of variety necessarily.
So, right.
I haven't really gained weight in the midsection too much. It's gone mostly around the face. They all fit.
That's the other thing about the Mister collection is I never can find pants that fit in a store. It's always a pain. I have to take three different types in and try them all on, and trying on pants is the worst. I hate it. For some reason, the Mister collection, maybe it's because they actually use accurate measurements, the pants they send me always fit. So I've actually probably bought as many pants as I have shirts from them because I'm like, oh my gosh, these fit. In fact, my only regret of anything I've kept from the Mister collection is a pair of red pants because I'm never going to wear them again. But I was so excited that they fit. And I'm like, I'm going to change my look. I'm going to be a guy who wears red pants. And I'm not.
You should wear red pants and a turquoise top.
I mean, you can be that guy.
I could, Sarah. Yeah. I'm just too much of a coward.
And just wear red sneakers or red.
They don't have XL or 2XL sizes. That's ridiculous.
You're 2XL?
Yeah, I'm looking at the sizes on the Mr. Play collection, which is the one I'd want.
Oh yeah.
And it says, "What shirt size? Small, medium, large, or XL?" I am 2XL because of my height. What the crap?
You might try XL.
Yeah, maybe it'd fit.
I'm wondering if they can take the scan that the TSA does at the airport, turn that into like clothing.
Just go through TSA. Can I have that? As long as I pass.
So this is the cool thing in Amazon. When you buy car stuff, you put in the model and year of your car, and then it tells you whether or not the stuff you selected fits it. It'd be great if you could do that. Put like a model of yourself, and then the clothing is like will fit, won't fit, or it'll be tight here, or too long here, or short here. That would be awesome.
Well, that's a bummer if they don't do it.
This will be tight in the crotch.
Right on the edge here. You know what? We didn't talk about this angle of it, but you know, if enough people were renting their clothes, you'd have a whole lot less waste.
Yeah. It turns out to donating your clothes in some cases is a worse is detrimental to certain areas in terms of for example when you when they ship huge cargo container ship loads of donated clothing from like developed countries into emerging economies, oftentimes what happens is the local textiles companies go under because everyone gets all these clothes for free.
That's a limited look at something. I mean, in general for the planet, making fewer clothes is probably better for the environment, and in making fewer clothes is definitely going to lose jobs places. There's no doubt about it.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you make fewer clothes, you wouldn't have an excess amount of clothes you would need to offload somewhere.
But you'd still run that factory out of business somewhere because you'd need fewer clothes.
I want the infinity cloth collection, like the dress.
I want the vibranium cloth.
You can collection. Tie it in different ways, and there would be different outfits. It would be a onesie. It would be like a jumpsuit.
Vibranium, light, breathable, bulletproof.
You could turn it into coveralls, overalls, shorts, a shirt. Put two of them together.
Convertible clothes are
weird.
Here, watch.
Those are what
convenient yet weird.
Convenient and yes,
is that the sign of a somewhat odd utopian society when everyone?
Like,
has
I actually have no real problem with them, but sometimes I'm like, oh, it's everything. Got it.
Okay. Well, remember when the ultimate unisex article of clothing was like an overall, right? No matter who you were or where you wear an overall,
That reminds me, I got a Mr. Collection reversible shirt that I loved. It was like checks on one side, solid on the other. Felt really good. I thought I kept it. Now I realize I haven't worn it in a long time. Maybe I didn't keep it. That's sad.
The other day, a girlfriend said, "What's the newest place for like cute, sort of fashionable workout clothes?" And I was like, I wear rags to the gym. Like, I don't. Like, I'm the last person who knows things like fashion. I try to keep up on, but when it comes to like sweating, absolutely not. Not happening.
I have an old Cat Country T-shirt. Sweating that.
Ooh, I want to show you guys a shirt I got.
I can't wait.
Cat Sanctuary of Lanai.
Oh, wow.
Ta-da.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
And that's the front. Isn't that so cute?
Yeah, I love it.
Wait, how's it a cat sanctuary? Is it in Hawaii?
It's in Lanai.
Yeah, it's on Lanai the island of Lanai, and apparently there's like hundreds of cats that live there.
Yeah, like I noticed that on Kauai. There was like just a lot of cats, like feral cats.
I would assume a cat sanctuary is a place particularly devoted to taking care of them and
in many cases like rescuing them from
I don't think the shirt is trying to imply that the entire island of Lanai is a cat sanctuary.
Also that they play ukuleles.
Yeah. Although they do play ukuleles, that part's true.
I mean,
they feed them spam. Masubi.
Larry Ellison won't allow cats on his estate on Lanai, but I'm sure they're welcome everywhere else.
Well, it's because they eat the birds and the rodents and the chickens.
If you listen to This Week in Science, you know there's a controversy out there about the environmental impact of cats.
Of house cats, yes, in Australia and New Zealand. I mean, there was a politician. Was it a politician?
Or was it a cat?
A science advisor, he said that, you know, they should consider just, you know, stopping cats from breeding, period, until they die out. So, you know, various species of endangered fauna would have a chance to.
What is this picture of googly eyes reading a book? Is that you, Scott?
That's me when I was a kid.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. I love that so much.
My daughter got a big scanner for all my dad's old photos, and she's been scanning stuff and sending them over by Dropbox when they're done, and that one jumped out.
That's great.
Kind of a weirdo I was.
What are you reading there? Why Masons? National Geographic,
but it's backwards for some reason.
Why Masons are your doctor?
What? Really?
It's National Geographic, but what does that back ad say? Why?
It's reverse, so I'd have to.
Yeah. Are your doctor is the last line.
Wait, where are you reading that from?
It's on Twitter. Scott's Twitter feed.
Well, speaking of feeds, anyone want to say anything to the YouTube feed before we stop broadcast for the day?
No, just thank you, because you guys are the best.
Yes.
Have a wonderful day, night, dinner, breakfast, wherever you are.
Scott?
That's my
All I would say is watch out where the huskies go and don't you eat that yellow snow.
And on that note, we'll see you tomorrow.
Words of wisdom.
So wise.
The famous line from
Where the huskies go, don't you?
I bet you it was the guy who found his science diet.
Is that Frank Zappa?
Frank Zappa, that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, there we go. All right, thank you, patrons. Happy Patron Day tomorrow. Thank you for your support. Keep it coming. We love you, and we keep doing this because you encourage us, and we love it.
Thanks, guys and gals.
Thank you.